Well, I'd like to continue on the subject of Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everyone here that's a father or has a father to honor. The title of the message would be Honor Your Father. A while ago, I was in a house measuring up for carpet for kitchen vinyl. I was in a, it got rather a little bit late. I was after 5 o'clock or so, or right at the 5 o'clock mark when mom's in the kitchen and preparing supper and time when dad would come home from work. And I was there measuring and mom was preparing food there and one of the children came in and said, Daddy's home. And it wasn't more than a couple seconds later, the second one was there, Daddy's home. And then it was just a short time, and then one of the little older one, 12-year-old, comes in and says, Mom, Dad's home. And there was some excitement. I believe that was a home where Dad was honored and revered. I believe that was a home where Mom and Dad loved each other. And I believe it should be that way. That's a joyous time when Dad comes home and from work and and having a time of supper together and that. So, you know, we have our Father's Day. It's interesting that our country does this, and we certainly can celebrate with our country Father's Day because the Bible says to honor your father and your mother. It's the Old Testament command and into the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, and that's where we're going to turn to this morning. So some of you, I see a lot of fathers here, young fathers, older fathers. There's probably some that will be fathers sometime, but we all have a father to honor. And I had to think about the high calling of a father, and at least in God's eyes today, it's not that way. But I had to think of Moses. You know, Moses was a man that was, he was a great leader, but who was his father? Does anybody know his name? Somebody we don't really know that well, do we? Amram was his father, but we talk about Moses because it was him. But you know, in Hebrews 11, where it mentions the heroes of faith, it says, Moses' parents, how he hid him. So the Hebrews 11 is talking about all the great heroes of faith, but yet there's one man there that gets credit for his parenting, for bringing up Moses. I believe that had a large impact in his later years when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, that was teaching that mom and dad had in there at that young age when they had him. Don't know exactly how long they had him in the home before he went to Pharaoh's house to be with her daughter. But I believe that had a large impact, and we can have a large impact on our children at young ages. So this morning we want to lift up the high calling of a father. You know, we live in a society where it's dad's brought down to the dummy. You know, when we were raising our children, 30 years ago, the children's books, the Berenstain Bears books, you know, all the whole series, you know, talked about how dad was sort of the dummy through it, and mom comes in and knows everything and fixes the problem. And that's the culture that we're in. It's not just in those books, but there's many other things that I believe Satan is behind it. And this morning we want to lift up the high calling of a father. Now, father implies children, you know, having children, just like mother. Mother's Day implies having children. You know, it's a great experience to be there when a child is born and to hear the nurse say, you know, it's a boy or it's a girl. But that along brings a responsibility, raising children for God, for Him. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And that brings a great responsibility that should not be taken lightly. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We'd like to look at some verses here. Very familiar verses. Instruction in Ephesians on the home. And we want to focus in on verses 1 and 2 and 3 and maybe some in 4. But I'd like to read this. It says in Ephesians 6, very familiar verses, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Now you can keep your finger there. Let's turn back to Colossians, a few pages back, Colossians chapter 3. Same principle, same verse, same thought. a little abbreviated here, but in chapter 3 and verse 20, Colossians, it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Then it goes into the servants. So this morning we have the instruction in Ephesians is on the home here is so basic, and yet it's so profound. So profound. It's the foundation to the Christian home, the foundation. It's the oldest instruction that you're going to find in any books that you can buy. It's the oldest instruction, and yet it's so relevant. It works. It just like it worked in the Old Testament, it works today. It's for our good. And it's not just for our good, but it has eternal value. The consequences lie there in it. So in these verses here, it talks about instruction to children and instruction to fathers. And we want to look at both of them. The first one is the obey, is directed to the children. Children, obey your parents. And then it's the second instruction to the child is to honor. Honor. And then the instruction to fathers would be disciplined and to instruct. Disciplined and instruct. It's given in the negative here. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And I wondered why it was written in the negative, you know, why, and maybe that's because it's an area we're weak in, you know, disciplining in anger and causing our children to become discouraged. But those are the things we want to look at, the obedience and the honor to children and the discipline and the instruction to fathers. This morning, I'd like it to be inspirational to the fathers that we have you know, that we could be honorable and that we and our children can honor us. Honor your father. I believe with God, it starts with godly fathers, you know, our relationship with God. And, you know, the verses prior to the section, the last half of chapter 5 and the first half of chapter 6 here is all in the home. It's all in the home. Husband and wife relationship, children, but right prior to that, it goes back to the command to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. And I believe that starts as godly fathers, that starts that we are filled with our relationship with God. And secondly, it's our relationship with our wives. You know, if we're going to have a Christian home, one that is full of love, it's going to have a relationship with husband and wife has to be good. That's the best thing we can show our children is that we love each other, that there's love there, that there's a peaceful and a pleasant atmosphere. And you know, you think about the teaching here in Ephesians on the home, the husband and wife, it goes... There's just a lot of teaching on between husband and wife and children and all, and it all comes down to submitting one to another in the fear of God. You know, wives submit to husbands, husbands submitting to the Lord, children submitting to parents, and parents submitting to the needs of the children, and it's all about submitting in the fear of God. And that is, and that's what actually obey means, to submit. So it's a foundation. This is a foundation here that plays out in so many other areas in life, as we're going to see here. But the first thing we want to look at is children, the address to children. And that doesn't so much mean age as offspring. So that applies to young children here, children in the laps, adolescents, youth, and all of us if we have fathers here. Now the obeying comes out a little different when we think about children obeying your parents. You're doing what they say, you know, you do what they say right away. But as you get older, that changes. You know, when you move out of the house, it turns from obedience more into respect. when we think about honoring our father and mother and obeying them, it turns into more respect than obedience, doing what they say. But that's what it means. That's what it means to do what they say right away. Children, the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it means to be obedient. That means when mom and dad says something, to obey, to do it. And it's right away. Not that dad has to say, go do it again, and then raise your voice and go do it. It's obey, to simply to submit. That is what it means to hear. And come under what parents say. As long as it's in the Lord, it's right. As long as it's in the Lord. You know, if dad tells you to go steal a gallon of milk for supper, that's not in the Lord. That's not in the Lord. But as long as it's not contrary to God's word, it's okay to obey. And in Colossians, it says that it was well-pleasing. It was well-pleasing to God. And that simply means that makes God happy. When you obey, children, when you obey, God is going to smile, because that's what he wants you to do. And the opposite is true as well. When you don't obey, then he's not going to be happy. He's going to be sad, because we need to obey. So when God tells you to, when dad says, pull the weeds in the garden, when you do it right away, when you do it cheerfully, without complaining and murmuring, and that is well pleasing to God. That's well pleasing, and that's a way, children, that you can honor your dad. Honor him by obeying. You see, honor and obedience go together. Likewise, the disobedience, it goes with dishonor. When we disobey, we do not honor. And the underlying motivator is love. We do it, children. You do it because you love. If the mom and dad love you, it makes it easy to obey, right? If just like in marriage, the love and respect. You know, the respect, and then it's easy to love. Respect is easy to love, and love and obedience is the same way. You know, if there's love there, it's easy to obey. It's not hard to obey in those circumstances. So it's a basic command, very simple. But it's going to make the home work. It's a principle. It works for the unbeliever as well, because it's right. It says it's right. It's going to. It won't have the eternal value, but it is right. So children, it is right to obey your parents. That's what it says. So you don't say, you know, why? Why must I do that? You know, I've been guilty of that myself. You know, to my parents, why? You know, well, it's, you know, parents, we shouldn't answer back saying, you know, well, because I said so. It should rather be, you know, because it's right. It's right. The Bible says, children, obey your parents because it's right. And God's the one that made it right. God's the one that made it right. So obedience is and honor go together. So, and the opposite is true as well. Children, if we do not obey our parents, you know, is well pleasing when we do that, and when we don't, he can be sad. He'll be sad. He'll be displeased. And obedience, you know, it applies to our Christian lives as well with God. What does God want from us is obedience. Someone has said it's the acid test. You know, if you love me, you will obey me. The same thing. You know, when we obey God, we show him we love him. And I think it was Harry Argo here that said just a little bit ago that, you know, the best seminary that you can go into is the school of obedience, the school of obedience. So children, and it applies to all of us, to be obedient to God. Children, be obedient to your parents, and we need to obey God because we love him. Now, with fathers and mothers, you know, something that's very important is that you are the first authority figure in a child's life. The first authority figure. How long does it take for a child to be in the home till they hear the word no? No, you can't do that. And it's an authority figure. It's an authority figure, and it's healthy. It's healthy to have that No, you can't do that. So respect for authority starts very young at home. And when it doesn't happen there, you know, you can have, you know, or why do you have a second grader in the principal's office in a Christian school lipping the principal? Something wasn't taught at home. You see, how could he got away with it at home, or something happened at home that didn't happen at home, that he was there being able to lip at the principal? And if it's not taught, you know, parents are the first authority figures in their lives. And if it's not taught there, there's going to be problems down the road. And there's authority figures in our lives all through life, through school, you know, the law enforcement, and through a church. There's just a lot of things. And it's so basic and to be taught at home. And I believe today our nation is where it is because there's a lack of authority, a lack of respect for authority. You know, we see it. And I mean, the police force is just very, they're being disrespected. You know, it's just our nation is just full of disrespect. So there's some basic teaching here from God that if we would apply it, it's the foundation to the obeying and honoring for children, and the instruction and the discipline. You know, and the Bible gives the tool for the discipline is the rod. So that is part of it's the foundation. So it's important, fathers and mothers as well, but fathers, to be that loving authority figure. You know, you are, as you have children in your home, you are their authority figure. And children have been entrusted to you. And so it's that you be a loving authority figure for them. And that's not just loving and doing everything they want and just saying yes, yes, yes. But, you know, the balance, you know, how God has balance. He's an authority figure and he has balance. He's full of love, but he's also just. And we saw that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. You know, God is also just. So we need to have balance in that, we're not just loving, all kindness and no, nothing strict, no rules. You know, we need to have love with the rules and with the like Jesus was full of grace and truth. We need to have that balance. So when you, as an authority figure for your children, you need to be a good one because that is shaping their image of God. That is shaping their image of God. And for small children, it's just simply being being clear with your commands. You know, when you tell them that you have, that they know what you mean. If you're not clear in your commands, they don't know, and there brings confusion. But if the basic thing is to be very clear in your commands that they understand, and to be consistent. You know, not one day it's this way and the next day you slack off and then all of a sudden you just blow up, and you know, you be consistent and making sure they understand what it is. And being consistent day to day. The earlier years in a child's life has such an impact on later years. So young fathers and mothers, this morning, it's not abnormal for a young child to resist your authority. That's not abnormal. That's normal, because we come with a fallen nature, and children don't automatically come willing to obey. It's something that has to be taught and needs to be trained. You need to teach this. You know, it tells us, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So they won't do it on their own. It's the parents' responsibility to instruct and to discipline. And the proverb says that a child left to his own will bring his mother to shame. So this is so, it's not complicated, but it's powerful. You know, I believe today that the Christian home is one of the loudest testimonies you can give. One, you know, where mom and dad love each other in the home, and they instruct their children, and there's obedience and honor there because they are loved and because they love, and there's a picture of a beautiful home. And when father says something, they do it, and their children obey. You know, the world will notice that. you know, I'm sure I've experienced it where we're maybe eating in a restaurant or something, and then afterwards someone will come and say, well, you have a beautiful family. And I'm sure many of you heard some similar things like that in different, but you know, you have a beautiful family. Well, what are they saying? What do they see? They see this in practice. And that's something, when you have that, it will be noticed. It can't be hid. It's like a city on a hill that can't be hid when we apply these principles, when we apply them. And it's interesting that the teaching on the home comes right after the command to be filled with the Spirit. It says, be filled with the Spirit. And then we have this teaching. So it's the foundation here, the foundation. And if the foundation is right, there's so many other, it's going to play out right. It's going to play out right. There might be other things that aren't perfect in the home, but if these principles are taught and it will the foundation will be there for them to bring glory to God. So it's so important to be a good authority figure to your children entrusted to you. So much of later life hinges on that. So today, now we want to spend more time here. I didn't really think it would take that long to get through that. But honoring your father and mother in verse 2, focusing on fathers. Father's Day, you know, it's a time that we think about blessing our fathers, giving them a phone call or a card or, you know, it doesn't say honor your father if he's honorable. It says honor your father and mother. So there's no exceptions. There's no exceptions. You honor them because they're your parents, because of who they are. And, you know, some fathers maybe have forsaken their children. Or, you know, there might be some other examples. But God will never forsake his children because he loves them. But we still have a responsibility of no matter what our father was like, to honor him because of his position. It's a commandment that was taught in the Old Testament in the fifth commandment. You know, that honoring your father and mother, and it's brought into the New Testament. It's an old, I don't know, 3,500 years old, or it's an old commandment that's there. And it's interesting that it's the first commandment of the ones to our relation to our fellow man. You know, that talks about our relationship to God, the first four commandments, and then it's the first one in our relationship with fellow man. And if we get that one right, much of the others will come out right too. I don't know, but I think it's an important that we honor our fathers and our mothers. One of the ways we can honor is to obey. And that's what we're looking, especially for children. You know, the Hebrew, the Strong's, to honor means to give weight to be heavy. So give weight to their words. You know, don't take lightly what they say. Don't take lightly what they say. You know, children, your parents have been around, maybe 20, 30 years more than you have. They have life's experiences that you don't have. They have a lot of examples, and they have more knowledge and more wisdom. And so listen to what they have to say. Listen to what they have to say. Proverbs says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know, they do have something to say. Give weight to their words. And so it's much more than obeying. It's much more than obeying. I believe for a child, that's what it means. To a child, simply to obey. And when we get older, it means it turns into respect. You know, this honoring father and mother turns into respecting them. It means to respect and to love and to care for them as long as they live, as they need us, and to honor them by the way we live. So the Greek here word in means to fix or to prize or to fix a value to to prize, to revere, and that's what you're thinking about honor. And it comes from the word time, Leon. It comes from the word time. So honor is an attitude that we can do by so it starts with obeying, and it turns into respect. Now, the Bible tells us to honor a lot of different people or different authorities in our lives. You know, to honor the Lord, to honor the Romans 13 talks about honoring the authorities. And in 1 Timothy, we have a verse that says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially for those who labor in the word and doctrine. So that would be double honor. How do you give double honor? So that's what it says in 1 Timothy there. For it says, for the elders who rule well. And that's where that brings the idea of faithfulness in. If they're ruling well, if they're laboring in the doctrine and doing it well, and they're faithful in what they're doing, we owe them double honor. Double. Times two. And I was thinking about how that would apply to fathers this morning. You know, if you have, see, the first thing is you honor them because of their position, and then you honor them if they're faithful in what they're doing. So if you have a faithful father this morning, you owe him double honor. Maybe it's two cards or two phone calls. No, double honor. Double him. So because they're good parents. Something to think about. But this also comes with a promise. This honoring father and mother is not just, okay, just do it. But it comes with a promise. And that the promise is that it'll be well with thee. It's like that God's going to be on your side. God's going to be on your side if you do this. And I had to think about it's like a guarantee from God, or a pledge from him. You know, that's like a warranty that stands far apart from any warranty here that we can get. You know, I was thinking about carpet warranties, you know, how worthless they are. You know, they put a label in the back, and Dan probably would know, 10-year wear warranty, right? And what does it mean? You read the fine print. You know, it's just, but this is a warranty from heaven that's sure, that's good, that you can count on it. And he's guaranteeing a blessing on your life if you do this, and when you do this. So when I honor my father and mother, I'm under God's special blessing and protection, and there's no better place to be. So if you want it to go well with your children, fathers, you know, you must teach them from the beginning, you know, to honor father and mother. And that's taught by obedience very young. And always to speak respectfully to parents and to older people and those in authority, and to always obey. And it's easier to start young than it is older. And if you take this seriously, God's promise is there. It's sure. It's a promise from him. And so we need to teach. It's a condition. It's a promise with a condition, you know, that we need to, that needs to be the honor and obedience there. And the adverse is true as well. You know, if we do not honor our father and mother, we'll be out from that umbrella, and we will not be there for God. God's protection won't be there for us. Now, how are some ways that we can honor our father and mother? What are some practical ways that our fathers, that we can honor them? Well, you know, we started with with young children. It's simply obedience. You know, it's simply obedience. That is the practical. There's nothing more to explain. It's the obedience. Children obey. And then that changes to respect as we get older. We need to respect our parents for who they are. You know, and then there's a lot of practical ways, you know, when our parents get older and are aging, one way that we can honor them is by taking care of them, providing. You know, I had to think of the old, the Pharisees and Jesus, they were accusing him of not washing his hands, and then he turned around and exposed their their way of getting around, their disrespect for their parents. And he says, you know, you say it is Corban and you don't honor your parents. You know, Corban was a devoted to God as a gift. Whatever, I don't know if they had a Corban offering or what exactly how it was, but the law said to honor their father and mother. And the Pharisees negated that command by teaching they could give money in the temple in lieu of helping their parents in need. So whatever money might have been used to provide for their aging parents could be dedicated to the temple treasure, to the church fund. And they could just say, it is Corban, and they could get out. It would exempt a person from his responsibility to his parents. So they could take a legitimate Corban offering and to just make a way to defraud their parents. But the point is that one of the practical ways that we can honor parents is by helping them in old age. Having an attitude of gratefulness, this applies probably to all ages, especially maybe children, but expressing appreciation. You know, when we have you know, a lot of times, you know, they thank mom for the meals that are cooked, and that's good. And you know, maybe it's thanking God for providing the food for mom to prepare. You know, for thanking your dad for bringing in an income, for paying for your tuition or whatever it might be. maybe it's thanking him for doing that dirty job. You know, just yesterday I cleaned the commode was clogged, and I cleaned out the commode, and I got to thank you for taking care of that dirty job. But you know, don't have a "you owe it to me" attitude. Nobody likes that, and we don't need to. We saw the example of the children of Israel. You know, how they're complaining, and you know, that's the opposite of having a spirit of appreciation. You know, when we can appreciate, you know, and if we have an attitude of appreciation in our home, you know, the children will do that too. And if we have the reverse, the chronic complaining, if that's the norm, you know, our children will pick that up. And so it's very important, like we're talking about, being examples. You know, we can honor our fathers. There's nothing more joyous to a father when siblings are playing nice together and getting along, and when they help each other out, when one will pick up when the smaller one is struggling with homework and the older one picks up and just jumps in and helps out. You know, that's an honor to your parents when you are a positive influence to your younger siblings. That's a blessing. That's a practical way you can honor your dad, being a good influence. Maybe it's saying no. Dad wouldn't appreciate that. Dad would say no. We don't think we should do that. You know, being a positive, good influence, you know, that's a very good way to honor your father this morning. Another way is if you can praise him. Probably goes along with the respect, you know, but praising him. You know, for young children, this comes pretty easy. You know, they say, you know, my dad can do anything. My dad can, you know, you can, whatever it is. Children rise up and call her blessed, the proverb there. But, you know, when you get to the adolescent age and the youth age, it maybe is a little different. You know, maybe mom and dad aren't quite as cool then. And maybe you're not quite ready to talk like that about them, you know. And I think, you know, I remember, and I regret this, you know, back in when I was a teenager, you know, the thing was to call your mom and dad the old man. And that is very, very disrespectful. And I regret that I did that. And because my dad is not the old man, he is my father. And that is one proof of not honoring your dad if you talk in a disrespectful way. You know, when there's a group of people around talking about maybe somebody picks up a negative attitude about their parents and they're talking about that, that's an opportunity to talk good about yours. You know, children rising up to call her blessed rather than there's a generation that curses mom and dad. Do you see the difference? See, we need to be taught, it comes down to respect. If we respect dad, the other flip side of that is dad should praise our children as well. You know, when we have children, we, you know, praising dad, but we as dads need to praise our children. Praise can be a powerful tool. You know, it's the balance to the correction. You know, when there's a balance between the correction and praise, you know, that can go miles. You know, like, wow, Johnny, that home run was the best. The only thing that could have been better is if the bases would have been loaded, or, you know, you can do, oh, that was a good, that's a nice dress you made, or, you know, fill in the blanks. Praise can go a long way. You know, the correction is needed, but the praise, you know, with a correction with no praise can lead to discouragement. You know, so lack of praise could be the contributor to the provoking to wrath. So I had to think about a good example of God. God praised his son, Jesus. When he was here, you know, he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and God spoke from heaven after he was at there. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." You know, he was not afraid to say that in front of everybody that was there. He was not boasting. He was just affirming him. And I think that is a powerful tool that we need to do for our children, to praise them. Why did he do it? Because he loved them. He loved his son. And we do need to do that as well. We can honor our parents by following. Another way is we can honor our parents by following their godly example. You know, parents have taught, spend time and instructing and a lot of, and there's no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, to see them embrace the doctrines of Jesus Christ in the church, to see them embrace what you've taught. You know, like a teacher in the classroom, there's nothing more enjoyable when they see that the dots connect and they get it. You know, the teacher, it just brings joy when they get it. And there's no greater joy for a parent when their children are following Jesus Christ. If they to hear them defend their faith or whatever it is, you know, it just brings joy. And there's also no greater joy than when your children accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, it's one thing to be there when they're born into this world and they take their first breath and that first cry. You know, that's a miracle, and it's a joy to be there for that. But it's a greater joy when your children accept their Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and as a father to be there for that time. So there's one other thing I was just thinking about. Yet it's interesting that God gives us, I'm sure there's a lot of other practical points, and maybe you can be interesting to open it up and talk about that, but we won't for time. But it's interesting that God gives us the name Father. You see, God's the Father. You know, he says, "Our Father who art in heaven," and he, as we have children, he gives us the name Father. And as authority figure in your child's life, you know, we play a significant role in shaping their understanding of God, of who God is. And it's sobering, you know, that it's said of fathers portray the image of God to their children. And that's sobering to think of that. So God calls as parents us to represent him in the life of your child. And there's no greater significance of a father. You know, father to his children. The name first belonged to God, and he gives it to us when he gives us that child, and he gives us the name Father. So we need to reflect, as fathers, the true image of God to our children, the true likeness of him that will draw them to himself later on. And so the question is, you know, how am I representing God to my children? How am I, you know, what impression am I giving of my children, of God to my children? You know, there was at a men's meeting one time, there was a speaker that was talking about doing a lot of counseling work, and he said, you know, there's a common thread that he sees in a lot of different cases, and that is their view of who God is, their view of who God is. And I think that's to think about as us fathers, we are portraying and we're painting a picture of God to our children. And that's a very sobering thing to think about, that God has given us his name, Father. So how am I doing? You know, what kind of an image am I portraying? Am I portraying a loving God or an angry God? You know, if I yell and get angry and when my children disobey, you know, I'm not representing God quite like I should, because he don't do that. He don't do that. And you can say, well, you know, we're in the flesh here. We're going to, yes, we do. We're not perfect. And I'm not portraying that I did things perfect. My children are here and they will know that there was many things that could have been different. But it's interesting that these verses come right after the command to be filled with the Spirit. And God gives us it tells us in Peter that God gives us his divine nature. You know, God gives us his divine nature. So the command, he gives us his divine nature. So if his divine nature in me, that's going to help me to love them regardless. You know, I'm never going to stop loving my children, because God doesn't do that. God always loves. And I'm going to seek their good. I'm going to seek their good no matter what, because that's what God is like. And I'm going to, if they choose a wrong path, you know, I'm not going to affirm them in it, but I'm going to do all that I can to bring them back on the right path, because that's what God does. You see, we should reflect our Father. It's a high calling. It's a high calling, the calling of a father. So this Father's Day, let's honor our fathers. We all have a father. And let's honor our fathers. The Bible doesn't give exceptions, you know, but we can honor the father. And if you had faithful parents, give them double honor. Give them double honor, because first their position and then for their faithfulness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for the simple instruction that you've given us in your word. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to be the kind of fathers that you want us to be. Help us to honor them in all ways. Help us to, for the children, help them to be obedient. And for all the older ones, and help us to respect in the way that you would want us to. Father, we thank you for each father that is represented here. May you be with them as they are leaders in their home. Just pray that you will guide and direct them. Lord, help us to be a light, bright light for you. We pray this in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Could we have a song?